This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 30th day of November 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets, that with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons will join us to take a look at the cash grain market, and we'll discuss the weather forecast with the guys at Risk Pulse. They're in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll take up the renewable fuel standard in the U.S. EPA at this hour. In fact, right now, the United States Environmental Protection Agency is making an announcement as it relates to the standard's volumes for the years 2014, 15, and 2016. I'll bring you all of that news as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. December corn at $3.65, up 5 3/4. The March at $3.72 1/4, up a nickel. May at $3.78, up 5 cents. And December up 4 1/2 at $3.94 3/4. Soy complex, January beans, 8 cents higher, $8.81. March at $8.83 1/4, up 7 3/4. And the May up 7 3/4 as well, $8.78 3/4. July 7 1/4 higher in the bean pit at $8.95 1/4. And next year's November beans, $8.99, up 6 1/4. They did hit a high today of $9.50. December bean meal at $2.84 3/4, up 2 1/4. Bean oil at $29.10, up 35 cents. Wheat futures in the December contract down 5 3/4 at $4.60. July at $4.92 3/4, up 2 1/4. And the hard red July at $4.95 1/4, 7 cents higher. Feeder cattle futures in the January contract at $162.45, down $3.57 1/2. The March there down $3.67 1/2 at $160 even. Live cattle futures currently trading at $129.65 or $217.5 lower at this hour. February trading at $132 and a nickel. They're down $1.80. And lean hogs for the day are 45 cents lower at $58.27 1/2. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, including Commodity Week.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The ethanol trading at $1.49 is up a penny and 9 tenths. Crude oil at $41.57 a barrel, 14 cents lower. Gasoline on the wholesale price is a nickel lower at $1.33 9/10. And heating oil is down 2 7/10 cents at $1.32 4/10. And natural gas for the day at $2.23. That's up 2 tenths of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 73 points lower at 17,728. The U.S. dollar at 100.21. That's up 0.137. And the gold futures on the afternoon currently trading at $1,067.50, or $11.25 higher. Here's what the weather forecast says for the Urbana-Champaign area tonight. A chance of rain or drizzle before 7 p.m. and then likely rain, mainly between 7 and 11. Cloudy with a steady temperature of about 44 degrees on an east-southeast wind this evening at 8 to 13. That'll turn to the southwest after midnight in the area. Chance of rainfall set at 70%. Tomorrow, partly sunny skies, a high of 45 on a southwest wind at 14 to 16, gusting to 25. And on Tuesday evening, increasing clouds, a low of 30 degrees, south-southwest winds at 9 to 13. Wednesday, mostly cloudy and 40. Thursday, sunny and 44. And Friday, sunny skies and 47. As we head into the weekend, Saturday, sunny skies 51. On Sunday, at this point, mostly sunny and 51 as well.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 30th day of November. We're joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to look at the trade in Chicago. Thanks, Kurt, for being with us. It was a nice finish to the day. Started out a bit higher and managed to maintain those gains in both the corn and the soybean pits.
It was all fairly active commodity from buyer going into midday. There they reported to be buyers of 4,000 beans, 1,000 meal, 4,000 oil, 7,000 corn, and about 2,000 wheat. Didn't see any corn deliveries. That kind of helped fuel a little buying there. Month end, funds were short, so ideas are open interest will go down a little bit tomorrow as they did a little month end squaring there. The key with this good close is to see if we can kind of follow through in through here and do this little seasonal up going into the middle of December.
You think that'll be the case?
I think so. You know, it's an election year. Cyber Monday might have started the trend here for a little while. Export business, for the most part, fair. The export inspections was okay. For wheat, a little disappointing for corn, but, strong for beans. So we're shipping out on the beans what we sold, but we still got a good chunk of corn exports to come to us after the first of the year. We kind of feel there's decent support on the market, but we're not going to zoom out of a hole here. There's still a lot of grain out there, particularly corn, to be sold. That's going to keep a lid on things. We kind of visit with the cash guys. They're kind of, still wanting to get some ownership on. They're, calling on farm storage situations up, say, hey, you can bring it on in, even though you're not supposed to bring it until January. So we feel we're kind of caught in the trading range here where breaks are going to be bought, but rallies are probably going to be met with some producer selling.
We talked this morning about the soybeans and how technically they had turned to look better than they had in previous times. What did the action today do? Anything?
Well, should hold together here. If we closed at 881, 883 and three quarters is about halfway back up. There's some fairly good resistance just above that at 885. We're getting a little overbought. We had a good up move here since the lows back there a week ago at 844 and a quarter in the jam. So, a nice little pop in through here. The cycle counts are ripe. To kind of see this thing hold together. But we're due for a little 1 to 2 day correction after the run-up we've seen here over the last week.
How about for the corn at this time? I know we've been looking at a couple of things related to both corn, soybeans, and wheat out of Argentina. Some clarification on this before we move on, by the way. You talked about the 5% decrease in the taxes. I went through, and we'll hear this in a moment in the news segment as well, and you are correct, and there is a plan all the way through. That's 5% on soybeans for this year and then next year and until it's eliminated, so it's at 35%. So it'll take a while, so I don't suppose soybeans will be running onto the market quite as fast as many had thought. However, all the corn and the wheat will be opened up completely, and I suppose that might change things for coming years, but not really for this year. What'd you see in the marketplace for corn in particular in Chicago for the day?
Well, we came in and had another nice little reversal of the upside. One below yesterday's low came back, made a new high, previous day's high, was able to close higher. So we've done a couple of those down here at this lower level. Just need to get some momentum here and push this March corn above this 375 area. If we can do that, maybe take a quick trip on up to the 380 area. So technically, it looks fairly good for some fund buying to kick in here if we can just get high enough to trip those buy programs. On the exports, Argentina, that's going to be a little bit of a longer-term situation. I don't know really if a producer in that area is going to just let loose a whole bunch. There's still a lot of uncertainty. Then, too, there's a question, particularly in beans, what's to say those weren't smuggled outside the country? to avoid some of this export tax too. So you know, there's a lot of newsy things out there, but both corn and beans in through here are, you know, in a position that it's going to be awful hard to find real bearish news here until we get into 2016 and kind of see where the South American crop is as a whole. Saw a little dry, too dry weather in the north, a little too wet weather in southern Brazil. There's talks about maybe some soybean rust developing, and well, twice the amount reported versus a year ago. So there's still a lot of weather news that's going to probably dominate the trade here as we move forward.
All right. Anything from the livestock side we need to stay up to date on?
Well, kind of disappointing in the livestock sector. You know, we saw some buying interest on weather concerns and ideas that maybe we need to have a little weather premium, but we took most of that away and through here. I think it's going to be kind of important for the hog market to February hogs particularly to find a little support here back in this mid 55 area. If we could do that, ideas are that even though we have large supplies of pork around, that we could have a little recovery here going into the middle of December.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Hey, have you checked out the Farm Doc Daily website just yet to see what's up with the Illinois Farm Economics Series? I hope not so, but if not, you can do it right now, and I'll put it on our willag.org website as well. I'll be traveling with the Agricultural Economist during the month of December, actually the week of the 14th, the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th, all across the state. The Farm Economics Series, one of those great events that you ought to come to. It's a half-day event. The Agricultural Economist from upstairs right here in Mumford Hall will take you through what things look like for the 2016 growing season. It's a great way to get yourself settled in to start to start out the next year, and of course to end this year. Depending on when you pay, the cost is somewhere between $65 and $75. So check out all the details on the Farm Economics Series on the Farm Doc Daily website. Of course, they have their own website for that series, but the click and easy is right there at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Speaking of them, that being the Ag Economist, one of the persons that'll be out on the road with me, Scott Irwin, has just joined us in a Mumford Hall studio here to talk about something of real importance, the United States Environmental Protection Agency. Just before 2 o'clock this afternoon, Scott released the updated volumes for the renewable fuels standards. Can you tell me about them, please?
Sure. These are the final rules for all categories for 2014, 15, and 16, and biodiesel for 2017. The preliminary rules were released at the end of May. Then there was a process taking into account changed circumstances in the fuel market, as well as comments as they go through their normal rulemaking process. And these were the final rules that are on the books now.
And those rules tell us what about the volumes for, and I don't know whether it matters very much for 14 and 15, and maybe you can tell me more, but about going forward, especially for 2016, that's where we're really concerned at this point.
Right. There was a bit of a zinger even for 2015 in these numbers.
Oh, really? What was it?
The implied ethanol or renewable mandate. Sometimes people also refer to it as the conventional mandate. So all three terms mean exactly the same thing. Most of that is fulfilled with corn-based ethanol here in the United States. That was set at 13.4 billion gallons in the preliminary proposal from last May. In this proposal, it jumped all the way to 14.05 billion gallons.
Oh, so it was up dramatically for the year that we're in. That's,
yes.
That's a big move. Are we that far along in consumption?
Yes and no is the right answer to that. Part of the reason that that number was bumped was because obviously we have much better data on the overall trend in gasoline and diesel use, which the standards are ultimately applied against. But I think the most intriguing thing is, and this is very quick because I've just been reading this in the last 10 minutes myself.
Right.
So I'd have to double check all my numbers. But it looks to me like not only did they raise the volumes because gasoline and diesel use was going up from the projections in May until now. That's no surprise to anybody.
Right.
But they also bumped up what are known as the fractional mandates, which is the percentage of gasoline and diesel use.
Oh, so they bumped those percentages up then too, and
you get the percentage for ethanols, which most people understand to be by taking the total percentage and subtracting the advanced.
Okay,
and so that's the percentage of gasoline and diesel use in the United States that has to be accounted for by so-called ethanol or renewable fuels.
Hold it. Does that mean the advanced biofuel, which biodiesel counts as, although there's a place in specific for biodiesel, changed as well on the fractional?
I haven't had a chance to do that number yet, Todd. It does not look to me like the advanced percentages changed very much.
Okay.
I just haven't had
so
chance.
Your point on the fractionals was that they just that they changed, or
yes, because this I did not anticipate. So, for example, in the preliminary proposal, the ethanol mandate, and be careful, I mean that the conventional renewable, so I don't
correct
have to keep repeating myself, was 7.43% of total gasoline and diesel use in the United States.
Right. So this is the one that the blend wall says no more than 10%.
Correct. Well, not exactly, because the way the RFS percentages work, they're applied to the total gasoline and diesel use.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So it's lower because it's
a bigger number.
It's a bigger number, right.
But they jumped it from 7.43% to 7.9%. So that's why you're getting such a strong number for 2015 in this proposal.
Right. So they jumped it 0.5%. So now the 2015, which you haven't told us yet, or 2016, does what?
They did the same thing with 2016. Of course, because the base gasoline and diesel use was increasing, if you're going to keep that percentage the same, the volume would have to go up. But in fact, they jumped the percentage from 7.75% in the preliminary to 8.09 in the final.
And that works out to how much ethanol is. I think I saw a number of 14.5, but I don't know.
No, okay. The volume is 14.5 billion gallons.
Yeah.
And so in the preliminary proposal, it was 14. So we're seeing that number has gone 500 million gallons to the
2016
and 605 million gallons to the 15.
So this is good news. However, well, if you're a corn producer, an ethanol producer, one of the two, however, it's still below the 15 billion gallon
correct
mandate.
That's
statute.
Correct. That whole controversy is going to continue in the courts. I don't know how soon the cases will be litigated, but I would presume it will be soon. But what's fascinating to me of what they've done, knowing that they're on the verge of going to court, is they've pretty much minimized the total cuts over 14, 15, and 16. And I think that they are providing a loud and clear signal that they intend in 17 to get back to the statutory level.
In hopes of not having to go to court, probably.
Well, or somehow that bolstering their case in the court. I don't know.
Yeah, and so then, and what are they doing bio-based diesel? Because I think I saw 2 million, did I see 2 million gallons at some point? There's a
in
lot.
In 17, it goes to 2 billion gallons.
2 billion gallons,
yeah.
Right.
But staying on ethanol, okay. I want to make what I think, there's a lot of numbers here, and, you know, it's easy to get confused with all these numbers. But the bottom line is, In May, in their preliminary proposal, I argued that the EPA was telegraphing their pass. They were telegraphing that they were going to move forward fairly aggressively to get the ethanol mandate back to the statutory level. And if you took them at their word, this is, I think, very consistent with the, with that message which was telegraphed in the preliminary proposal. But I've had too many conversations to count since May when people didn't believe what the EPA and the EPA Administrator McCarthy was saying about their intent to get things back on track. They now only have to go up another 500 million gallons in 2017 on the ethanol mandate to get back to statutory levels.
And given all of that, it's probably important to remember the statutory levels are actually above the 10% blend.
Correct.
So there's two things at work here. There's something where Congress said we want you to use 15 million gallons and let's use corn-based ethanol, right? We want you to use 15 million gallons of corn-based ethanol in 2015. But by the way, no more than 10% of the total supply. And at first, when they put these in place, they thought that 15 million gallons would be probably less than what we would use. And this was in 2007, if I remember correctly.
Right.
Would be used in 2015. As it turns out, the CAFE standards changed, and we got more efficient in gasoline usage, and the 10% is actually below the 15 billion gallon statute.
That is correct.
But it looks like they're on target at 17 to get back to what the statute says, so 15 billion gallons, because it's for corn going forward at this point.
You know, that doesn't honestly surprise me because I think, like I said, the EPA was telegraphing this message to the markets last May that they had done a major about face as a result, I think, of the pressure coming out of the ag and biofuels sectors and their political muscle is on full display here, because we went from a situation in late 2013 with the EPA, you know, that first proposal for 2014 basically said, looking forward, we're going to put a ceiling on the ethanol mandate right at the E10 blend wall. At that point, it was 13 billion gallons, and so they would push it up only as that blend wall volume went up. My calculations are you could have, at that time, based on the information you had in late 2013, you would have projected that would have totaled between 14 and 2022 about 17 billion gallons of cuts in the RFS.
Okay. We have about 40 seconds left. Tomorrow morning, folks can join you on Twitter.
Correct.
To have a discussion about this. And your address is, you're going to.
This is going to be at the ACES.
At ACES, right?
Yeah. It's at the ACES Twitter. Oh, my goodness. You're catching me unaware, Todd.
You're catching me unaware, too. I didn't. There it is right there. So it's going to be on the Twitter account for ACES, which is looking for hashtag AskACES. That's the way you're going to follow this along. Thank
Agricultural
you.
Programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Moose Day. It's also St. Andrew's Day, patron of fishermen. This day in agricultural history in 1838 marked the Great Pastry War. The conflict between Mexico and France was caused by a French pastry cook who claimed that some Mexican army soldiers had damaged his restaurant. The Mexican government refused to pay for the damages. France decided to do something about it and sent a fleet to Veracruz and fired on the fortress outside the harbor. France was eventually, with the help of Great Britain, paid a payment of 600,000 pesos for the damages. In 1866, John Mercer died, an English chemist. He invented a process for treating cotton that made it stronger and shrink-resistant. In 1875, A.J. Erickson patented an oat-crushing machine, which used a series of horizontal knives to shear the grain. In 1899, Andrew Moyer was born, an American microbiologist. He invented a method for mass-producing penicillin. While working for USDA, he discovered a technique for antibiotic fermentation through the continuous shaking of corn steep liquor and lactose. And in 1967, Casimir Funk died. Funk was a Polish-American biochemist who came up with the word vitamine, later changed to vitamin. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo from Risk Pulse is with us. He's in Chicago to take a look at the weather forecast, kind of a rainy forecast to begin with for the start of this week. But I guess it's going to get warmer. Is it going to get nicer as well?
It will for the second half of the week. But, yeah, starting things off, we do have this storm system here in the Midwest producing snows in the Northwest Midwest and just some rain, even a few ice pellets here reported in northern Illinois. As we go through the middle of the week, just some scattered snow showers. The snows in the northwestern Midwest will be done. We do have at least some colder temperatures here working their way with the storm system, but then by week's end into the weekend, temperatures will quickly moderate and overall begin what looks to be an extended stretch of well above normal temperatures, and that looks to be in place all the way into the middle part of December.
No, that sounds great for us, but before we get too far, it is winter time. Did I see that they're going to have a winter storm out west?
Well, yeah, in areas of northwestern Iowa, in the southeastern South Dakota, southern Minnesota, even in eastern Nebraska, some of the snow is ending there. But all in all, for that region, looks like they'll pick up about 3 to as much as 9 inches of snow, even some isolated heavier amounts with the storm system. But overall, the system is going to be lifting off to the north and east, so it's not going to be pushing eastward here in Illinois. You can't rule out some snow showers here on Wednesday, but that looks to be the main impact here as a result of this system.
Turn your attention to South America. How are they processing through their growing season?
Overall, they're processing quite well, and the main takeaway at the present time is the continued heavy rainfall in areas of southern Brazil, Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina, up into Paraná, and Paraguay. That zone has received above normal rainfall. In fact, looking at the past 30-day rainfall totals across that area, that's running at some of the highest 30-day total of the past 10 to 15 years, specifically in that zone. Looks like the pattern's going to continue here going forward, so more frequent rain activity, some on the heavier side, can be expected. So that may cause, again, some kind of regional wetness issues, whether it's late delays in summer crop planting or winter wheat harvesting across the region. As you get away from that zone up into central Brazil, Mato Grosso, or down south into Argentina, weather has been quite favorable. Some areas in the north still need a little bit more rain, but all in all, no major issues at the present time.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. I do appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Just a recap, this afternoon, the United States Environmental Protection Agency, within the last hour, updated the RFS volumes. Those are renewable fuel standard volumes for ethanol made from corn, and more importantly, the advanced and cellulosic ethanol production. Those are the numbers that are actually official. The corn number is kind of an unofficial number. It can be back calculated. And it appears that they are on a trajectory to put that right back on track with the statutes by 2017.